Hello, and hello, listeners. Welcome to another hour of Your Hour of Power with Miranda Campbell. I'm your host, Miranda Campbell. I'm so excited that you could join me this evening on this journey that we're going to take. Today on the show, we have a very special guest, as always. I try to have something special for you every week, something to empower you. I have a special guest. His name is Frank, and we're going to be talking about the power of meditation. He also has a documentary that we'll be talking about and discussing on tonight. So, folks, thank you once again for listening. I do appreciate you out there. Our goal here is that you become a fully functioning individual, mentally, physically, and spiritually. We want to educate you, empower you, and entertain you. So strap in tonight, get a nice glass of wine or a nice cup of tea, however you relax, and go on this journey with us tonight towards enlightenment and empowerment. And once again, thank you for listening and stay tuned. Remember to live, laugh, and love. Welcome back, friends and listeners. Thank you so much for listening. This is Your Hour of Power, and I'm your host, Miranda Campbell. Our goal here is to educate, empower, and entertain you. And once again, we want to make sure that you are fully functioning mentally, physically, and spiritually. We'll be getting to the spiritual in just a moment. Right now, I want to focus on the physical. You know, I always try to share tips with you that encourage you and help you stay healthy. This time, I'd like to talk about headaches. A lot of people deal with headaches. Sometimes it can be stress-related. Sometimes it's emotionally related to things that are happening in your life. But I want to help you deal with headaches and figure out a way to manage the pain and relieve yourself of the pain. Here are some ideas that we have. Identify triggers. Keep track of your headaches. Keep a little headache diary whenever you start to feel the pain in your temples. Write it down. Noting what you ate that day, what the weather was like, where you were, etc. To identify a pattern. And once you know what triggers your headache, you can take the steps to avoid them. Secondly, reduce your stress. When you feel a headache coming on, friends, dim the lights, close the curtains, make sure that there's no external forces that may contribute to the headache. And some people may need to stop smoking. Sometimes nicotine can trigger a headache. Or even breathing a cigarette or cigar smoke can trigger a headache for some people. And that just leads me to something else I want to talk about with you all, friends and listeners, smoking. I encountered a lady today. As some of you may know, I do some life coaching, and I encountered a lady who deals with smoking. She has that habit, and some people call it a bad habit, but for some it's really gotten to the point where it's uncontrollable. So what I did with her was we prayed first, because I believe in prayer first and foremost. I believe it's powerful. I believe it changes things. And we also asked God to replace her urge for smoking with prayer, because we all know when individuals smoke, it's to relieve stress. They like the feeling that nicotine gives them. They like that feeling of calm and relaxation. So we couldn't necessarily take away the urge, but we can replace that urge with something else that gives her the same result, the same relaxation, the same calmness. So, friends and listeners, We prayed that whenever she got the urge to smoke, it would be replaced with an urge to pray. Because for my people who meditate and for my people who pray, we know that after prayer and meditation, you feel relaxed. You feel calm. And that's the same thing you're working towards when you smoke, right? For my people who smoke out there and they're listening. So we can't necessarily replace the triggers, but we can replace the way we get to the feeling of relaxation, which leads perfectly into my next guest and what we're going to be talking about. My guest on tonight, his name is Frank Huguenard, and I do hope I said that correctly. If not, he will correct me. And he is an expert on meditation. And I'm so excited to have him on the show, so I'm going to bring him right on in. Frank, are you there?
I am, and you pronounced my name perfectly. So having had people butcher it for 40, 50 years, you did very well. And thank you so much for having me on.
No problem, Frank. It's indeed my pleasure. Please allow me to introduce you formally. Listeners and friends, Frank Huguenard earned his degree in computer science from Purdue University and spent 30 years in high-tech in Silicon Valley. About 10 years ago, he experienced personal losses so deep it cost him his job, his home, and his relationships. This experience of grief sent him on a journey of spiritual discovery that would transform his life. With the help of the Sahaj Samadhi meditation and other techniques and practices, such as rhythmic breathing exercises. For the past several years, he has been executive director of a nonprofit humanitarian relief organization that he founded, the Bountiful Garden Foundation, and he has become a filmmaker. His latest work, Beyond Me, is a spellbinding 53-minute documentary that takes you from the cosmos, quantum physics, to animal instincts, reincarnation, to consciousness, mental health, cellular biology, computer science, and meditation. Since the release of the movie, he's received letters from around the globe from people who are grateful for his life-changing masterpiece. Frank, would you please give us a glimpse into your introspective journey? You know, where were you? What were you doing when you experienced a call to explore your life more deeply?
So about 10 years ago, just before 9/11, was basically the culmination of a train wreck that took about 40 years to happen. I was fired severely from a company I was at, and the penalty or the crime that I had committed was revolutionizing the company. I moved the company. I had 15 man years in 8 weeks' time with one engineer and created a revolutionary project. And for that, I was fired. And I was fired by a guy who was carrying a gun. I mean, they had rented a rent-a-cop to come in and escort me out the building. So there's nothing really like telling you we don't want you than a man carrying a gun.
Well, yeah. Oh, God.
And this was happening at the same time as my best friend and soulmate was losing her battle with breast cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and so, you know, it was quite a profound moment in my life. You know, here I was with a couple kids, and, you know, in the end I ended up losing my house, like you said, and my job and my career, and basically lost everything. And for a few years after she had passed away, I was doing a lot of grieving and trying to understand why my life wasn't working. And I'm an extraordinarily talented person, and yet, you know, life was just a struggle at every turn. And, you know, bouts with alcoholism and drugs and, you know, relationships that turned sour. And I just wanted to understand, you know, why I was so miserable and why life wasn't working and why so many people I know, you know, friends and family and everything else, nobody I knew seemed to be very happy. And so I set off, you know, researching and trying to understand why things were the way they were.
With that being said, I'm sure a lot of people have that question, Frank. A lot of people ask themselves that question every night before they fall asleep. So why are we suffering? Why are so many people unhappy on a day-to-day basis?
Well, that's really why I made this documentary. And for those of you listening, you can find it easily online. It's Beyond Me is the name of the film. And you go to beyondmefilm.com, all one word, and you can find it. And I'll cut to the chase a little bit here. I started meditating daily and doing other rhythmic breathing exercises, et cetera, around 2003, so that was 8 years ago. And after four years of this, I was able to get to a point of consciousness every day that I can't describe in any other terms other than pure divine love. It's really quite amazing. And so, yeah, it's phenomenal. And so from there, it's like, wow, you know, this is so easy. It's a natural gift that everybody has. You know, I need to explain this to people. And so, what meditation accomplishes is the same thing as the answer to your question. We have so much garbage in our consciousness, in our operating system, as the Beyond Me documentary points out, that it's causing really poor system performance and causing all of our misery and suffering.
Wow. Poor system performance. I like the way you put that. It kind of likens our bodies to like a hard drive or a computer system, where meditation allows us to delete unneeded files or kind of do like a spyware type of cleansing to our hard drive and our system.
That's absolutely right, and it's not an analogy. It's very much, as I say in the film, a homologue. It's the same thing. And
right.
While most people do go to extraordinary lengths on their PCs, spyware and adware, and they've got their firewalls and they've got their routers and in defragmenting their hard disk and cleaning their registry, they do all these different things. We as humans, we need to do those same things just to stay doing a simple system maintenance. And it's very important that we do these. And once you do, life becomes so much easier. And you were talking about headaches. People who are getting a lot of headaches, they're already at that stress threshold where they're getting headaches easily. And the point is with meditation, you can reduce that threshold so significantly that you're never even approaching getting headaches anymore.
That is magnificent because so many people rely on over-the-counter medication, which I like to call toxicity for sale. Basically, all this medication we rely on for relief when we can just look within ourselves and find that relief naturally.
Absolutely.
And Beyond Me, let's talk about Beyond Me. So everybody, Frank gave us the website, but I want to give it out again. It's www.beyondmefilm.com. where you can listen to his documentary. I believe you all should take at least 53 minutes out of your day to take a gander at that. So in Beyond Me, you talk about the form and the formless, how we are all made up of both of these. Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Sure. Obviously there's the form, which is the physical plane that everything resides where we see all the buildings and people and the planet and everything else. But there's also the non-physical. Einstein and quantum physicist Max Planck talk about the field. And so you really can't talk about, all of our misery and suffering without also exploring the field, which is our other component, and understanding what is it about that field that's within us that's distorted and needs to be corrected.
Exactly. For some of my friends who are Christians, that is similar to what we call the natural and the spirit, kind of like the natural world, what we can touch, feel, what we can feel, smell, see with our senses, and then the spirit world, the things that we can't see, the energy that we can't see that's around us every day that definitely has to do with our being.
Right, so, and energy can neither be created nor destroyed. This is what Einstein's talking about. He's saying, well, you know, we're made up of both of these things, and the part that can't be destroyed has always been. It's always going to be. It doesn't have an end or a beginning.
Exactly. And I believe by meditation we can get in touch with that formless or spiritual world through meditation.
Absolutely.
Wonderful, because like you said, energy cannot be created nor destroyed, but it's only transferred. And that just reminds me of like when you're in the room and there's a negative energy or a heavy energy, that doesn't go anywhere. It stays there. And it can either transfer from that person to you or to some other place, but it's up to us whether we accept it or not. So,
this is something I touch in Beyond Me, and this is why consciousness, or what I call secondhand consciousness, is a million times more dangerous and toxic than secondhand smoke. At least with secondhand smoke, it's got a restricted area of where it spreads. But with secondhand consciousness, you can walk into that room that you were talking about. And catch that negative energy. Then you go talk to your daughter, and she catches it. She goes to the playground and talk and spreads it to her friends, and it goes on and on and on. So people have to be really careful with that when they have the negative energy within them, and just allow it to move through them and not hold on to it.
Oh, wow. That is so powerful. Wow, Frank. Friends, listeners, if you want to join in on this conversation with us, we would love to have you share in this conversation. Call us at 530-413-4511 or 530-413-4515 or try line 3-415-287-0074. And you can also call in toll-free 1-888-815-9756. And that toll-free number, once again, is 1-888-815-9756. We're going to take a short break, friends, but when we come back, we're going to impart more knowledge with Frank. He's going to impart more knowledge with us, and we're going to delve into this topic a little bit more when we get back from the break. And remember, friends, to live, laugh, and love. Hello, friends and listeners. Thank you for tuning in to another hour of Your Hour of Power with Miranda Campbell. Our goal here is to educate, empower, and entertain you. We hope that you become a fully functioning individual mentally, physically, and spiritually. And speaking of the spiritual, we have a guest with us on the show this evening. His name is Frank, and he is the author or the producer of a documentary, I should say. It's called Beyond Me. And you can find it at www.beyondmefilm.com. Tonight we're talking about meditation and the power of meditation. And before we went to break, we were discussing the form and the formless world, also known as the spirit and the natural world. Frank, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. So you were telling us, you so poetically and so profoundly put it, how we need to be conscious of the energy that we're around and try our best not to hold on to it, even if we encounter it, how to let it go if we encounter it. So before we went to break, we were also talking about the computer and the hard drive and kind of doing a spyware on our hard drive by meditating. Draw some comparisons, if you will, between evolution of computers and evolution of biological life forms.
Well, right. When you take a look at how the non-physical, the formless, has moved through this universe for the last 15 billion years, and mm-hmm. on this planet for the last 5 billion years, and how, excuse me, clear my throat.
Oh, no, okay.
How, you know, life forms started on this planet as very simple single-celled organisms, and the consciousness within those organisms began to have their forms being created out of that consciousness. And after those life forms died, that formlessness went on to become yet another life form. And so for a billion or 2 billion years, all these organisms didn't really evolve very much. And over time, they went from single cell to multi-cell to organisms that had fully functioning subsystems within them. And this was all carried forward by the formless being transmutated from one lifetime to the next, bringing with it all the knowledge from the previous birth. And that has gone on for 4 billion years on this planet to getting us to this current point where we're these magnificent creatures that we are. And in the same form, computers have also evolved in that same sort of lineage, that same sort of tradition, going from very simple devices that really didn't do very much. And within those devices, the operating system and the controlling software that operating those systems was very, very simple back in the late 60s. And if you draw the parallels between all those devices and the sort of the formless, the software is the formless that operates those computers. It resides on a hard drive, like you say, but really it's formless. It's just a set of instructions that gets fed through the machine and operates it. And over the last 40 years, the evolution of computers has completely paralleled how life on this planet has evolved for the last 4 billion years. It's really quite amazing when you look at it from that perspective.
Okay. I hear you. I hear you. This is where we can agree to disagree. I think you're a very intelligent individual, and I believe we agree on so many levels, and I believe we have so many things in common. But obviously, you believe in evolution.
I don't believe in anything, really. I take what I can be convinced of, and I take what I know.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, I'm a Christian, and I believe that there was the Garden of Eden, and I believe that humankind was created by God, mankind was created by God, but mm-hmm. each his own.
I'm a Christian, too, and I believe that God has created all this.
Oh, okay.
I'm very much a Christian. I'm a I'm a student of all the great, you know, I see Jesus as an enlightened master.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of my, you know, going back to the start of this conversation, I was raised Catholic. And
okay.
around the age of 20, I think as a lot of people do, I kind of threw out the baby with the bathwater. You know, it was so, you know, it's like, you know, listen, I was cynical at the age of six.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Mary Majola at St. Jude's School in South Bend was teaching me that, you know, that people, it's just some things that were, you know, people who didn't believe in this were going to burn in hell. And I was like, wait a second, that can't be right. You know, people.
Hey, okay.
And so I threw all this out by the age of 20, but I always had this seeker's mentality, wanting to know the truth. Okay, if mm-hmm. that's not right, what is the truth? And so, mm-hmm. and so, putting Jesus in the context of an enlightened master, and what mm-hmm. is an enlightened master? What does that mean? And was he the mm-hmm. only enlightened master on this planet? And looking at all the different teachings of all these people have gone to the other side. They've experienced the entire formlessness.
Mm-hmm.
And they've come back, you know, Krishna and Buddha and Muhammad and Jesus, and they've come back from that realm, and they've tried to teach us what is the other side in two different ways. One is through parables and their scriptures and the books that they've written, and said, it's like this, it's like this. But how do you explain to someone who doesn't know the meaning of the word sweet what sugar is? And so they can try to explain what this formless world is, but it's impossible. And then the other way that they try to teach us what they went over and discovered is through experience, by teaching the techniques of meditation and other techniques that they think are going to help people get to that point that they were able to get to.
Exactly.
Exactly. And so I'm very much a Christian. I read as much information that I can about Jesus's time on this planet, and so you know,
he took time out to meditate and to be alone, like in the Garden of Gethsemane. Even he valued prayer and how important it was to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And wonderful, very well put, Frank. Very well put. Let's talk about Western psychology. You know, depression, mental disorders that some people suffer from, and how, as you describe it, at best clinicians aspire to, like, manage the misery.
Right. And I almost equate it to the Tylenols that you were talking about earlier, the toxics that you put in people's body. The pharmaceutical companies, it's a bit of a conflict of interest. If everybody on the planet was healthy, they'd be out of business.
Right.
And if
exactly.
And if everybody on the planet had perfect mental health, we wouldn't need any psychologists.
Exactly.
And so, you know, if you took the word psychology and broke it apart into psyche, and mm-hmm. and replaced that with the word consciousness, and came up with a new word called consciousnessology, then you would find other cultures in the world that have, you know, maybe a 5 or 10,000 year head start on Western psychology.
Wow!
Oh yeah, when Carl Jung went to India 100 years ago, he realized.
Yes, I know.
What's
yes.
that?
Oh, I studied Jung in college. Yes, definitely.
Right, and when he went to India 100 years ago, he realized that Western psychology was in its infancy compared to the Eastern studies of consciousness.
And so
if you look at how meditation works and how comprehensive it is, again, to the computer model, whereas Western psychology would be like going through and saying, okay, let's look and see if you've got this Trojan horse virus, you know, mm-hmm. on your computer. And so they spend mm-hmm. you spend 10 years on the couch looking at this one virus and maybe and maybe extracting it, whereas with the Eastern techniques of meditation and learning how to quiet your mind and be still, you can completely resolve all of those performance issues you have and clean out all the registry and defragment your heart disk, do all those with one simple technique.
You said something that was magnetic to my spirit just now, you said, if we could just be still. And that just automatically reminded me of when Jesus was on the boat, and outside there was a storm. There was this huge storm going on. The boat was shaking and rocking. Everybody was all sporadic. Everybody was worried and upset. And they went in and they woke Jesus up and they said, come out, come out, Master, come out. You know, we're going to drown. We're going to die. And you're in here sleeping. So he went outside and he stood on the edge of that boat and he said, peace, be still. And when he said that, everything calmed down around them. And it goes on to where Peter was even able to walk on the water. That's how calm it was. That's how still everything was. So,
and that can be very much put in the form of a parable, where that's exactly how a human mind is right now. Across the planet, our human minds are exactly like that sea. That's turbulent and really large white caps and very big waves and thunder and lightning. That's what the human mind is right now. And it's possible through meditation to get that sea to be completely still.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about how we can do that. I'm sure our listeners are anxious to know how they can make their minds be still. You know, meditations, what are various forms of meditation, and where can a person go to learn them?
Right. There's very simple forms. I can do a 3-minute introductory course of just following your breath and stuff like that. But what you really want to do is go and take a class from someone who knows all the questions and can guide you through it. Because it's something, as I say in the video, the human nervous system is the most exquisite instrument in the universe. And learning to master it is going to take as much effort, if not more so, than learning how to play a violin. And I've heard so many people over the years say, well, I tried meditation, it doesn't work. And my response is, yeah, okay, I tried to play a violin, I can't do it. You know, it takes out. It's funny when people say that. It's like, oh, really? It takes effort and it takes persistence, but if you knew what you were missing, or if you knew what that carrot was that's dangling in front of you to experience that pure divine bliss, you would go through the effort. Anyway, back to your question. There's three major organizations in this country that are probably what I consider the best. There's Vipassana, and you can find them at dhamma.org. I believe that's dhamma.org. And their course, their initial course is a 10-day, basically, boot camp.
Okay.
And it's meditating 10, 11 hours a day for 10 days straight. It's pretty intense. And it's not for a lot of people. It's great, but it's a very pure form of intention from antiquities. And then, of course, there's the transcendental meditation, and that costs about $2,500. I'm not sure about the website. I think it's just tm.org. What I would recommend, the best meditation practice to look into is what I'd learned, which is the Sahaj Samadhi meditation. And that can be found at Art of Living. So just go to artofliving.org and look up their meditation class. And it's very powerful and it's very simple. It's just learning to calm your mind. One note that, you know, I meditate every day, and even still after 8 years, I get lots and lots of thoughts in my mind. So, you know, people shouldn't get discouraged or whatever if thoughts are coming into your mind.
Okay.
That's just part of the program. It's just knowing that, okay, those thoughts are there, and you just kind of pat them on the butt and send them on their way and not really put too much attention on them. And then one other thing I like about the Art of Living as a school for this kind of techniques is it's very comprehensive. It's not just meditation. There's breathing techniques. It's exactly what your program's about. It's mind, body, physical, emotional, spiritual needs. And so there's Ayurvedic cooking classes. There's yoga for physical, positions to help your, you know, again, tuning up your operating system to work at peak performance. There's weekend retreats. It's a whole comprehensive program for if we're getting people to learn how to calm their minds and to purify their souls.
Oh, wow, wonderful. I'm going to give those websites out again just in case people are writing this down. It's dhamma.org. That's D-H-A-M-A.org.
I think it's D-H-A-M-M-A.org. But if you just Google Vipassana, V-A-P-A-S-S-A-N-N-A,
it should come up. Okay. And PM?
TM.org for Transcendental Meditation. And then the last one, and again, this is the one I recommend. It's Art of Living. Oh, that's simple. Mm-hmm. Just Google Art of Living or go to artofliving.org.
Wonderful. Wonderful. With that being said, callers, Frank, please feel free to call in and share. If you have any questions for Frank, now is the time to ask. If you have any questions about meditation, any questions about how he stays so calm and intact and in tune with his spirit and his formless and form self, why don't you give us a call at 1-888-815-9756 or feel free to call 530-327-7602, 530-413-4510, and line 3 is 530-413-4522. You can also chat with me on Twitter at Your Hour of Power or add us as a friend on Facebook at Your Hour of Power with Miranda Campbell. With that being said, folks, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more about meditation, or we're even going to talk a little bit about yoga. Hello, listeners. Hello, friends. Thank you for tuning in. This is Your Hour of Power. And we have on the show tonight our guest, Frank, and we're talking about meditation and the power of a calm mind and a calm spirit. Before we get back to Frank, that it is our goal to make sure you are fully functioning mentally, physically, and spiritually. And for your physical, I was giving you some tips on how to handle headaches and how to overcome smoking in a natural way. Now I want to focus on your mental and your finances. You know, every week we give you some type of tip to help you manage your money, manage your finances in your day-to-day life. Frank's pretty much taking care of the spiritual part of the show tonight. So just a little tip for my friends and my listeners. Just me personally, dealing with savings accounts, I wasn't yielding the results that I wanted with regular savings accounts. So I just moved my money to a high-yielding savings account. You can just Google that. High-yielding savings account, and I found one that was yielding 1.19%. The rate was 1.19, and it's with Discover Bank. It's a savings account. The annual percentage rate is 1.20. That's a good place to put a small amount of money, maybe an emergency savings or just a regular savings. And, you know, if you want to yield higher results, you can play with the stock market or move your money into a money market fund or a mutual fund for higher yielding rates. But just for a savings account, Ally actually has a good one as well, Ally Bank. You can find them at www.ally.com. There's another account with OneWest Bank. That's in Pasadena, California. They're yielding 1.09%. That's pretty good as well. And it's better than, you know, your regular savings account that you find at Bank of America or Chase or banks like that. This is something that's really going to help you save. So once again, it's www.allybank.com, high-yielding savings account. So with that being said, hopefully that can help you save your money on purpose. So let's get back to Frank. And we were talking about before we went to break. Frank, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
And I would like to say something. You were talking about cigarette smoking earlier and habits. And,
yeah.
And about 4 years ago, I stopped drinking. But before that, I quit drinking about 100 times. Right. And the difference is that stopping wasn't a conscious decision. When there's a decision that needs to be made, there's always some part of you that's holding on to, you know, whatever it is that you want to give up. You know, the part of you that doesn't want to quit drinking. And so quitting is sort of like a hard thing to do. But after meditating for 4 years, I just noticed one day, oh, I'm not drinking anymore. And you can do this with cigarette smoking and just about anything else, where all those habits that get ingrained in your consciousness through the years can just be lifted just by meditation.
That is awesome. That's so funny. You said you stopped drinking, but you quit about how many times?
Oh, God, who knows, 100 times, but I only stopped. And when I stopped, I stopped. There just was no, you know, I stopped.
Exactly, and that's something, a great point, because we can't do it on our own. We need something, like you said, it's always something holding you to that. So with meditation and with yoga, why are yoga, breathing, and things like nutrition and so many other factors important to this process of changing behaviors?
Well, it's, you know, again, if you look at your body as a bit of hardware, and it is, it's the most amazing hardware ever made. You know, you wouldn't just sit there and take your computer and abuse it, and yet that's what people do with their bodies. They put trans fats into their system and MSG and aspartame and all kinds of different poisons. They have their triple big gulps and their double whoppers, and you know, all these things have an effect on your consciousness.
Exactly.
I've been a vegetarian for several years, and Okay. You know, when you eat meat products, the consciousness from those creatures stays in your system for almost 2 months.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
It's very profound. Whereas if you eat a vegetarian meal, the consciousness from those products is out of your system within 2 or 3 days. And if you have a glass of wine, that affects your consciousness for 69 days. This is all very profound stuff. So it's very important if you're really going to want to take a look at why you're miserable and understand that your body, your physical body, is the most awesome computer ever designed, and you need to take good care of it and do proper maintenance. You're not going to put all this crap in your body. You have to be a lot more careful about what you do, and you need to sleep right, and you need to do some form of yoga or exercise to keep the system operating well. It just makes common sense to take care of the computer.
Exactly. What you put in is what you get out. And I try to talk about that every week. I'm giving some type of tip because I really believe that being whole and functioning fully begins with uniting the mental, physical, and spiritual in a healthy way. We try to give health tips about eating right, taking care of our temple, taking care of our brain, taking care of our body. So what you're saying, Frank, is just so profound and so helpful to everybody listening. I just thank you so much for that and for the knowledge that you have. I'm going to tweet that. You said the consciousness of animal, of meat,
right,
stays in the body for...
for almost 2 months.
Wow.
Right.
And that is so true, because it was living, and it does carry a spirit. It does carry something with that, which explains why we feel so heavy after we eat meat.
Absolutely. Last time I had a steak, you know, I had a really nice ribeye. I'd been vegetarian for a year or two, and I thought I would splurge, you know, and got a nice marbled ribeye and charcoal grilled it, and it was awesome. But
right.
I felt it for a week. I mean, I could just feel this coursing through my blood for a week, and I was like, that was it. There was no way I was going to eat any more meat. People don't notice it when they eat meat all the time, but once you're a vegetarian and you have a large amount of animal meat, you can feel it for
definitely.
A long time.
Oh, definitely. Once you go to eating healthy and eating right and eating natural food, when you go back to the toxicity, it doesn't taste right. You can't digest it.
Right. Very heavy.
Yeah, definitely. And that, I can't remember the name of the book, but listeners, I'm going to Google it and I'll have it for you next week. But there's this book that talks about our diet and how our blood type really determines what we should be eating. And a friend of mine, he has a blood type where the Mediterranean diet is best for him, and he can't have any red meat at all. And once he stopped eating red meat, he alleviated heart problems. He no longer had heart problems or anything like that. So I'll get the title of that book next week, but definitely that lends to what you're saying, Frank, about you could feel the meat coursing through your blood, coursing through your veins after you ate it. So let's talk about love and gratitude, two things that are very dear to my heart. Love and gratitude have always known to be important, but how does that fit into what you're discussing and what we talked about earlier with our bodies being like a computer?
Right, and this whole adventure of mine started off last summer. I was meditating up in Montana, and I had this really profound experience where I was viewing my thoughts actually being formed as pre-thoughts, and they were appearing as fractals. It was quite amazing. It was incredible. But what was happening at the time, I was going through something where I was sort of alternating between fear and love. And at first I was sort of like, you know, sort of quickly getting out of fear, but I was watching how radically the fractal, the images and the shapes and the forms and the colors and the texture of the fractals radically changed as I alternated between fear and love. And then I started having fun with it and actually intentionally going back to fear and then back to love. And this is how I came up with the entire computer-based model, because being a computer engineer, I immediately saw these fractals as the machine code that computers run on. And the entire and the entire world of operating systems is based on really everything you have in the world, every computer, iPod, phone, computer technology runs on about 60 or 70 instructions. It's really quite amazing that all everything boils down to, you know, a very simple set of commands. And so what happens is that your heart vibrates in one of three different frequency domains. It's either fear, hate, or love.
Exactly.
And your entire, and then your entire everything, your entire mental framework, your concepts, beliefs, concepts, everybody's thoughts, all are based on whatever that those machine codes are. So if you're vibrating in fear, which most Americans are and most TV networks want you to be and most governments, that's how people are controlled, your entire mental framework is built up of an operating system that's based on an instruction set that's based on fear. And so how this relates to love and gratitude is that if you vibrate in love, you're going to have a much more refined and superior, basically, operating system than you have when you're vibrating in fear. And gratitude comes in place because gratitude is a very high frequency. Gratitude is an even higher vibrational frequency than love is. And so when you're experiencing gratitude, if you noticed, it's impossible to feel fear or hate, if you think about that for a second. So this is how gratitude works. Everyone says, you know, be grateful. It'll help you. You know, you'll experience more abundance. Jesus said, those who have it will be given more, and those who don't have any will even that will be removed from them. He's talking about gratitude. And
exactly.
So it's important for people to increase their vibrational frequency just by spending as much time in gratitude as possible.
How do we spend more time in gratitude, Frank?
Well, listen, if people, even if their whole life has collapsed, if they can't find something to be grateful about, they're just not looking very hard. I mean, this whole entire universe is a miracle. I think Einstein said either everything's a miracle or nothing's a miracle. You know, the whole universe is a miracle. And if you can't find anything in your life to be grateful about, you know, you might want to sit down and think about it a little bit, you know, and look at the misfortune of others, or just look at how wonderful life is. And it's not very hard to find a place where you can, wow, this is amazing.
So we take that thing that we're grateful for, and we sit in a quiet place, and we focus on it.
That's right. You just focus on it. And gratitude is actually an emotion. You don't really need to sit there and say, thank you, God, for this. You can just feel that gratitude. And that to me, that's actually what the true meaning of the word worship is. It's when you're sitting there feeling this vibration, it's usually going to be in your throat this emotional feeling. And it's not really a thought-based thing. It's an emotional thing where you're just vibrating and you're thinking, wow, you know, and you're just feeling this sense of gratitude, this sense of wonder. And that's what worship is.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And you said something. You said that most Americans are vibrating in fear, and it's impossible to vibrate in gratitude when you're in fear. So how do we get from one spectrum to the other? How do we get from fear to the exact other end of the spectrum, which is love? How do we get there?
Well, again, gratitude helps. Just being mindful and being aware that you're in fear, and understanding that this is how humans on this planet have been controlled for the last 5,000 years, as governments have used fear to instill something into your hearts. Being aware of it and understanding fear is the ultimate poison. It's so toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just important to just be grateful. If you're feeling fearful, find something to be grateful for, and you'll notice that fear is lifted almost instantly.
I agree totally. So with that being said, find something that you're grateful for and focus on it and vibrate and feel that feeling of gratefulness, and then you'll move into the spirit, into the vibration of love. So that's how it works, basically.
That's the basic mechanism, yeah. And it works for me every time.
I agree. So with that being said, what do you hope to achieve with your documentary?
Well, going back to the parable about Jesus and the ocean, you know, I would like to see the humanity being uplifted by having all the minds on this planet being calmed down and to come to a still place.
What you said was also very powerful, and I want people to understand, is that this world is created to keep us in fear, because we can attain perfect mental health, we can attain perfect physical health, and we can attain this in natural ways. We don't have to rely on over-the-counter medicine. We don't have to rely on, you know, these different types of medications that people use for depression and anxiety and so on and so on. Speaking of over-the-counter medicines, that's one of the ways to avoid a headache. Okay, we have a call. I just got a note from our engineers that we have a call, so let's go ahead and take this call. Larry, on line two. Larry, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for joining us. Do you have a question or a comment for Frank?
Yes, I do. Frank, in this imperfect world we live in, what's the top three things we should be trying to achieve?
What should we be trying to achieve? I don't think we should be trying to achieve anything. I think the main thing is to look, take responsibility for your consciousness and understand that no one else can be your IT manager. And so you what you can do is simply take control of your life by cleaning out your own operating system, basically. The main thing you should want to hope for is happiness for yourself and for those around you, and you can accomplish that all through meditation.
Larry?
Yes, ma'am.
Did that answer your question? That's a very good question, by the way.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes, and I just want to elaborate on what he said. That's a good question. How can we achieve something or happen? He put it that we shouldn't be trying to achieve anything. I think when we try to achieve things, it sets us up to be let down. When we try so hard to achieve things, I think it puts us in a bad position, and it allows us to be let down when we should just be meditating where we are, being free to be who you are on a daily basis, and living in that love of self. I feel that the things that you want will attract themselves to you if you put out that energy.
Well, that's right. I mean, the whole universe is happening on its own. You don't need to control the universe. In fact, it's impossible. But and meditating and being blissed out all the time doesn't mean not being creative. In the last 8 years, I've had a restaurant. I started a nonprofit organization. I've invented a new team sport. I've written a couple songs. I've invented a new technology. I've done all kinds of things, but I never set out to achieve any of them. They just happened. So
wow.
There's a difference between just letting go and allowing, you know, the universe to do its job, and wanting to go out and achieve things. So that's how I took the question. And just going out and being happy should be the objective, and learning how to do that.
Do you believe you can do that, Larry?
Sure can.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Frank.
Thanks, Larry.
So with that being said, I mean, trying not to achieve things, because I know I used to be an overachiever, and I'd have a list of things that I want to achieve, but those weren't always the things that were on my path or my journey that's been predestined for me. They weren't the things that were in my line of attraction for what my life is going to be about, things that I was necessarily trying to achieve.
Right. When you have aspirations and you just want to go out and achieve things, that usually leads to frustration.
Wow. And you're absolutely right, because that's why people are frustrated, because they're trying to achieve their agenda and their motives. when we actually have a higher calling.
Right, and then they keep saying, well, what am I doing wrong? And it's like, no, you're not doing anything wrong. Just let go and just let things happen. Everything's taken care of. Just chill.
Everything. And if we really believe that, people will be much happier.
Absolutely. Well, that's not, but I don't think that, you know, I don't think that's a belief. That's actually the definition of faith. Faith is the knowledge that everything is taken care of, just chill. And you just live
faith,
with that.
Substance. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And with that said, folks, we're going to go to break. Thank you for listening. Hello, listeners. Thank you so much for being a part of the show tonight. Once again, you can find more about Frank at www.beyondmefilm.com. www.beyondmefilm.com. Go ahead and take a look at his documentary. I have learned so much. I hope you have. And we'll see if we can get Frank on another time with us to learn more from him. Remember, friends, to live, laugh, and love. See you next week.